welcome to Dear Pop Culture Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about pop culture that is dear to us, brought to you by Comedy Here Often Podcast Network. I'm Gina Harms. I'm your host. And today I am joined by a very exciting guest, a comedian, my friend Rory Dunn. Hi.
Hi, that's me.
Hello, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you, Gina?
Good. Yeah, well, you just pretend that we didn't just talk before the intro.
Yeah, of course not. I don't even know who you are.
Yes, so nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Very first time speaking.
I invited Rory on the pod today because the Oscars happened last Sunday. When this comes out, it'll be, you know, just over a week ago. But we'd love to talk about the Oscars, or I do anyway. And if you listen to this podcast, I'm sure that you want to hear about them.
You love nerdy shit that no one else really cares about, but it's fantastic. That's not an insult. I'm sorry. That's not an insult at all.
The people who like this podcast love nerdy shit. No,
nerdy shit is awesome, though.
Yes, exactly. And we mean that in the best way.
Yes. Nerd stopped being an insult about 10 years ago, it seems. So
that's true. That just reminded me, there was like, I think when I was in high school, there was like a big boom of like shirts that would say like, I heart nerds, you know?
Yeah, that was a big thing. And then like anything throughout the 2010 was really just the rise of nerd culture into the stratosphere, the commercialization of it, because all of the nerds from the 80s were now in charge of selling things, and they knew how much they could get for selling all this stuff.
That's true. I'm also thinking about like fake glasses, just like nerd chic. Zooey Deschanel, adorkable.
Yeah, adorkable was a big was a big push in the nerd culture. I think that I'm also influenced by one of my favorite podcasts. They talk about how there's one person who isn't big into movies and the other two are massive movie nerds. So they'll go on like 15 minute talks and then the other person will just be like, you guys are such nerds. So I always think of them as the movie nerds and how cool movie nerd is.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, movie nerds, speaking of. So let's talk about the Oscars. Where do we start? It was a weird
what
ceremony. What happened?
So I listened to a few Oscars podcasts. I'm a big Oscar fan. I don't know how many of the Oscar movies you got to see. I usually watch all of them.
Right.
Anything nominated for an Oscar, I get around to. This year, I watched about 75% of them.
Right. So I would say I usually try and watch, at least as far as Best Picture, 75% of them. This year, almost nothing. Because like half of them weren't on streaming, and, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, unless you are specifically looking for them... And it's hard to get motivated to look for these movies in quarantine. It's so much nicer to go to a theater, watch it with people, especially these fairly haughty, fairly heavy dramas like The Father and stuff. That's not fun to sit down in your room and just watch on a computer screen.
Yeah. Oh, you're back. Sorry, you cut out for a second. But,
we're
back.
Okay.
It probably recorded on your end.
It did.
Yeah.
I'm recording on a separate computer just in case that starts happening.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. That's funny. But yeah, so like I got the gist of that. Yeah, you want to watch these in theaters. You're not watching this at home.
Yeah, you like watching fun things at home. You like watching movies you've probably seen before at home.
Especially during this pandemic. Like, I'm going for comfort.
So which of the few did you end up being able to see?
Let me see. I saw Minari, and I liked that. And oh my God, what Promising Young Woman. And I'll say I started to watch Mank and I turned it off.
That's more than fair. Most people should turn off Mank. If you are watching Mank right now, just turn it off. It's fine.
It's boring. I was like, I like Amanda Seyfried. I love her. And I will like, but like she wasn't in it that much. She was a supporting role. And then, yeah, I was like, I just can't bring myself to care about this weird, like, Gary Oldman character.
It was a very bad script. That was the main issue with it, is it had this script that it thought was very interesting. They thought that this story is very interesting and people are going to love this story, and they didn't endow the script with enough interesting moments, interesting characters, or anything to really carry it into the production. So we're just stuck with this. It's very beautifully shot, in my opinion. The sound design is really good, and it's shot very beautifully.
But I will say it's beautiful, but I'm also kind of like, why is your movie in black and white? Like, you know?
Yeah.
It almost any modern movie that's in black and white, I don't like.
Yeah, that's fair. I understand why they had it in black and white, and I do like some black and white photography. Right. But yeah, it was definitely it definitely turned people off it more. And the story wasn't going to bring them on anymore. So
yeah, it's Mank. Like, oh, the guy who wrote Citizen Kane, I never saw. But and then the way they had Best Picture like before. Ooh. Best actor. That was, oh man, they really messed up.
It was, so did you know that Steven Soderbergh was the producer this year of the Oscars?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did like Ocean's 11, right? That's his
He did like Ocean's 11. He's done so many movies, but his big thing is if you can pull off this major twist, if you can really pull off this last scene, it usually carries the films, his best films. They pull off this grand finale, and that's what makes them memorable. And that's what they were going for. They were really banking on that Chadwick Boseman win.
Yeah.
And like, if he had won, it would have been a really great moment. It would have really worked.
Even if Steven Yeun had won, like, you know, that would have been like a big historic win. It would be like, yeah, great. But
really, if anyone who had won, who was there awake.
Because it didn't help that Frances McDormand didn't do a speech. It was like, we're going to end on actress and then actor. And then actress was just her being like, okay, yeah, thanks, bye.
Yeah, because she just gave a speech. She was just up there for Best Picture.
Yeah.
She just howled and then left.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Fair.
Which also was a surprising win, in my opinion. I had it down to either Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman, who I would have given it to.
Yeah.
Or Viola Davis for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I did see that. And and that's also why, like, no, I haven't seen like all of the actor ones, but I really did think Chadwick deserved to win. Like,
well, the one thing with acting this year, this is probably, in my opinion, the best actor lineup in probably a decade, at least.
Yeah.
Because I think that category is almost always super weak. I mean, the Joker won it, so it's not.
It's true. It is weird. It's like usually with actress, you're like, wow, so many great ones. But usually with actor, it's like, okay, this one guy.
Yeah, there's one or two, and then somebody who is very old and people love that is going to win it. But this year, across the board, except for Gary Oldman, I'm just like, if any of these people win, I'll be very happy. Because, like you said, Steven Yeun for Minari.
Yeah, he was
beautiful.
Great.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I'm glad that she took the Best Supporting Actress. I've tried to pronounce her name before. I'm not going to insult her by doing that again.
Oh, yeah. I want to say it's Yu Jung Young, but
Yu Jung Young, or yes, around.
I know she like said it in her speech, so I'm like, I feel bad if I say that wrong. Yeah, yeah, she deserved it. She was great.
She was great. But yeah, I was surprised. I don't think that they liked Ma Rainey's Black Bottom that much, because it only won costuming and hair and makeup. It did win those two, mm-hmm. and did have fantastic those, but it didn't win production design, and it didn't win it wasn't even nominated for Best Picture, which was kind of a sign that maybe it didn't have the support behind it that people assumed it did when Chadwick passed. So
that's a good point.
But yeah, the ending was the worst Oscars ending I've ever seen.
Just like such a shame. And also could have probably not have been saved, but like that's what a great moment to have a host.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Because you look back at the La La Land Moonlight incident, which was the worst ending I'd seen before this, but this one definitely tops that.
Yeah.
Because that was at least exciting.
Right.
But Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job of just kind of like parlaying that awkward moment, just getting past it and getting Moonlight the recognition kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like you need that kind of outsider or like someone guiding you along, or, you know, usually a comic to just break the tension and be like, what? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that crazy?
yeah, just break the tension and bring it home kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Lil Roy Howard, what was it? What's his name?
Oh, Lil Rel.
Lil Rel, sorry. He was right there.
Right? Yeah, they had him do that, and they had him on the like red carpet thing doing interviews. I'm like, he could have just, he would have been good.
He would have been a good host. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would have felt, the whole thing was pretty dry. It was a very dry Oscars. Mm-hmm. I really like the opening with Regina King walking out.
Oh yeah, that was a strong start.
Very strong start. She walks on out, and then they give the best international feature, and that was the best speech of the night with Thomas Vinterberg.
Yes,
where he talked about his daughter passing and everything. Mm-hmm. But then it just ground to this halt. It just didn't have any energy there, and nobody in the room wanted to be there.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's like, because it's not in a theater, and it's like, you know, when you're doing a comedy show, and it's at a place, I'll say, like, the Kino, rest in peace, but, like, where you can see the audience, and it just feels weird, and it's like, if it's sunny, the sun is shining in, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah. Like, and it's supposed to be all hoity-toity, but everyone kind of just wants to chill and hang out. And at this one, they were trying to combine the two. Like, oh, this is very prestigious, but also you can chill and hang out and everything.
Yeah, so it was just like, it's good. It's cool that they, like, tried to do it and they did it all in person. Like,
yes, but I definitely wouldn't. I don't think I would have watched it if it was a Zoom show. I don't think I would have this year.
I didn't watch the Golden Globes this year.
No. And it should be noted that nobody should watch the Golden Globes ever, because the Golden Globes is terrible in every way.
It's a mess, but I find it, you know, sometimes the celebrities get drunk and it's more loose. It's definitely don't mess. Care who wins.
Yeah. No.
you can't put any stock in who wins.
No,
same with the Oscars, too. I mean, whatever, but...
Yeah, I like the Oscars because they're silly. That's why I like the Oscars. Because it's all these rich people, and they're all just dressed up super nice, and they're celebrating movies. I'm just like, this, but on its face, is really a silly thing to do. But that's kind of why I really liked how just kind of bold-faced, honest they are, which is like, oh, I really love movies.
I like that because, like, there's so many people that are like, oh, the Oscars don't matter. It's like, we know they don't matter, but it's still fun.
Yeah. Like, I always push back on that a little bit because I'm always just like, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter in that this isn't the best picture of the year. It's not like everyone has to agree with that. But it does matter in that most of these movies would never get made if not for the Oscars and various awards, because they would never get the funding to be made, because getting these awards and getting these nominations is what gets people to then see them, which is then how the people make their money back, and then they can invest in more movies. I can't remember the exact money breakdown, but Best Picture always gets at least 25% more at the box office after the win. And depending on the movie, that's that a major push.
I just saw a tweet that was like, Nomadland. Sorry, it cut out, so it was all weird. We're back.
Yes.
But yeah, I was gonna say, I just saw a tweet that was like, Nomadland is like the lowest grossing Best Picture winner ever, and I was like, well, movie theaters weren't open this year, first of all.
Yeah, it's so such a silly thing to rank it on this year. I am glad that they happened, because a lot of people were kind of be like, should the Oscars just be canceled this year?
Yeah.
But I felt like it was nice to be like, oh, things are definitely getting better because they can all be in person.
Yeah.
And it's good to showcase, again, just showcase these movies that, let's be honest, most people will never have heard of if not for the Oscars. And yeah, that's why I love the Oscars.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, well, let's go like maybe more not related to this year's Oscars, but like, have you always loved the Oscars, like when you were a kid?
I actually didn't. I don't remember the first Oscars I watched, but I think it might have been when I was in university in film school. I probably started paying attention a bit more.
Yeah.
But no, the award show, the only award show moment I remember really watching and investing, and I believe has highly affected my life from when I was a teenager, was definitely when Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams won Best Kiss at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And then they reenacted the kiss on stage. And I'm just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that was so cool. I love that.
Yeah. And I do believe that that is the only reason Maroon 5 continued to be a successful band, because everyone just thinks back to that song and they're just like, yeah, but they did have that one song.
That's so funny. Was it She Will Be Loved? That was
yes,
funny?
Yes, She Will Be Loved.
That's a great song. Also,
that first album is very good.
Yeah, actually, the whole album, Songs About Jane by Maroon 5, is great. Oh my god, that just reminds me, I saw a TikTok that was like, it just came up on my page. It was like, if you know all these Maroon 5 songs, you're a real fan, and I knew all of them, and I was like, am I a Maroon 5 fan? I didn't know, but I'm like, they get played on the radio a lot.
Yeah, they get played ad nauseum on the radio. They are, people make fun of Imagine Dragons for all sounding the same. I don't think I could tell a difference between one Maroon 5 song or the other from the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, I guess I like them. Like, it's, I won't turn it off if it comes on.
Yeah, they're not a bad band. They don't make bad music. They're just music that I don't see myself as being like, I feel like listening to some Maroon 5 right now.
Yes, except for that first album.
You
should turn that on.
And specifically because of The Notebook.
Yes. Yeah, that music video too for She Will Be Loved has Kelly Preston in it. So
right.
Good. Yeah. Okay. The MTV Awards. Those were a big deal. I always watched those.
Yes. I remember, I don't remember watching, I honestly don't remember watching award shows much as a kid.
Just that one moment.
Just like moments here and there. Like, I remember when Foo Fighters performed Best of You at one of the award shows. That was a big moment for me where I'm just like, this band rules. I love this. And then Yellow Card, who was my favorite band as a teenager and the first concert I ever went to, they covered Don't You Forget About Me.
Yeah.
For the, I want to say, 20th anniversary of Breakfast Club.
Oh.
And it was very bad. They did a very bad cover.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is very specific. Like, that guy's voice.
Yeah. I've heard it covers here and there, and it just, they never work as well, because just that, the type of song it is, how earnest it is, and how just heartfelt it is, it's very much an 86, like, moment. It kind of really captures the moment the Breakfast Club existed in, yeah.
Yes, that's so true. I love, like, movie soundtracks really went off in the 80s.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I listened to Dirty Dancing quite a bit, like, I've Had the Time of My Life, or, like, the Footloose soundtrack. Like, that movie is, like, bad, but
I've never seen Footloose, but I have a dance to the Footloose song because it's a great song.
You have a dance.
I have a dance that when that song comes on, I'm just like, I guess I'm doing my dance.
Oh my god, gotta bust that out when first thing when things open back up.
Yes, when we can finally enter buildings again.
Oh my god. And it will be like the movie Footloose, because you're like, we weren't allowed to dance, and now we are.
And now we are. And also, I'm in love with the preacher's daughter, who happens to be John Lithgow.
Right. So you know enough about the movie.
It is amazing how much I know about specific movies that I've never seen.
I have that, too. But it's like, if you pay attention... Because I don't know, you listen to like podcasts or like whatever, mm-hmm. you're just interested in that kind of movie culture, then you hear the references enough and you just know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, when something is so ingrained in the culture that's referenced so many times over the last, now coming up to 40 years, yeah, you're going to know some things about it.
Yeah, totally.
Also, Footloose is going to be 40 soon.
When you said that, I was like, holy smokes. Yeah. Yikes.
Did you watch the Oscars much growing up?
I think I started to get into them, like, maybe in my teens a bit. I don't know exactly when, but, like, I loved award shows. Like, it started with, like, the MTV ones. You had the music awards and the movie awards, and like I would watch like the Teen Choice Awards and and then eventually I was for a while, when you're a kid, you're like, I think the Oscars are boring. And it's not like my parents really watched them. I don't think they cared much.
I think that was the big thing. My parents didn't care about movies or watch movies at all growing up. Right. So I remember, now that I think about it, I think the main year that I don't think I watched them, but I paid attention, was 2007, when There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men were kind of like dueling it out for who would win Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that because I went and saw No Country for Old Men in the theater by myself, because I would go to the movies by myself all the time as a teenager.
Yeah.
And that was probably like the first movie that I'm just like, oh my god, this changed me as a person watching this movie.
Oh my god.
And then I like paid attention to like the Oscar season. I remember we were going to rent a movie, which is something for pay-per-view, which was something we never really did as a family. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, hey, I've heard There Will Be Blood is supposed to be very good. And we rented it, and my parents hated it so much because it's a 3-hour movie and no one talks for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know at the time. I loved it, but they were just like, I don't think they even bothered to finish it. I watched it by myself.
That's so funny. That's like, no, that's not our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I feel like there must have been like movies that got me to watch, but I'm also like, it was maybe like the hosts, because in the early 2000s, this is like Ellen DeGeneres hosted once, and I remember wanting to watch it. Because her talk show was great.
Because he loved Ellen. Because it Ellen. Was all right to love Ellen back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, she wasn't weird yet. Even this like second time she hosted more recently, you know, with the selfie, even yeah. that time was like, oh, okay, this is enough. But like, I remember her watching it. I remember her like vacuuming in the aisles. And like, that was so funny.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I recall this now from my yeah. memory palace. Yeah.
Yeah. I also will say, I think my favorite host, it was maybe Hugh Jackman. I have gone back and watched his musical opening number like multiple times. Like, it's on YouTube.
I don't think I ever watched that one, but hearing that, I'm just like, I'm also running down the list of other hosts in my head where I'm just like, okay, Anne Hathaway and James Franco were that, notably terrible.
Yeah, I kind of loved it at the time. Yeah. Everyone hated it. It was weird. It was so weird.
Yeah, it was just because James Franco was high as hell the whole show.
That's true. It should have just been Anne.
Yeah, should have just been Anne, but for whatever reason, people really hate Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, and that didn't help.
No. Then there's Chris Rock, who...
Well, he's good.
He was good. The only thing I remember, though, is he had this weird bit about Asian kids doing math. I'm just like, it didn't age very well. God. Even at the time, people were like, that's not a good thing to have.
Yeah.
I think he sold Girl Scout cookies, though, to the audience. I really like that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, because his daughter is a Girl Scout. So
oh,
she
has, yes!
Because everyone there is always so hungry.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. No one's allowed to eat.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the Ellen ordering pizzas was really good.
Yeah, and, that was. Like, it's always a funny bit when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And then Jimmy Kimmel was fine.
Oh, yeah, he's, you know, he's good. He's been, like, hosting a show forever. I'm like, yeah, he can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Jimmy Kimmel is, like, the, like, stock image of a straight white male host.
Yes, and, like, yeah, just, like, you know, I feel like everyone loves him. He's, like, not controversial. I don't know.
No.
I like him.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy Kimmel, good guy.
Good
Thumbs
guy.
Up.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah.
I'm just happy that James Corden has never hosted.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's probably coming. I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't have a host, like, for the last year, though, did they?
Yeah, last year was the first time they didn't have a host because they hired Kevin. Oh. What's his name?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Thing. And that blew up, and then they didn't bother to replace him, which, I don't know. People, a lot of talk was about how it's no benefit to you to host the Oscars, actually, because usually they only get someone who's already super big, and the only thing that can come from it is people mocking how bad you did, which is what usually happens.
Yeah.
Which is why they should give it to us. We should host the Oscars next year.
Yes.
Please and thank you.
Absolutely. I love that idea.
Yeah. They should just give it to someone who's at least on the uprise. Like, not a superstar,
yeah.
but someone people could... Like, if they gave it to Lil Rel this year, that would have been perfect.
Right. Because it's like, everyone... no one's really seen him do anything except in Get Out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, very supporting role in that. And then... you would see him host the Oscars, and I think no matter what, people would be like, oh, yeah, like, you have no expectations. So you're like, cool, that was great.
Exactly. I also will say Neil Patrick Harris was the other one that I think I've seen.
Oh, right.
His was not great.
I don't even remember it. I blocked it out of my mind.
That was the thing. It was very forgettable, and it was also... very cheesy. His was like the most earnest because how much he loves movies, but it was kind of like bordering on like, okay, this is just silly and dumb. I don't like it. Yeah,
because like I like the idea, like why I liked when Hugh Jackman did, because it is more of the like, you know, song and dance, like he's gonna put on a show, but mm-hmm. not as weirdly as Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris reminds me of, like, a Ken doll. in both yeah. his aesthetic and his just like personality a little bit, where I'm just like, it's a little too squeaky clean.
Yeah. Although and last year on his Twitter, maybe it was last year or the year before, I don't know, he was like asking his fans to send him birthday gifts. I was like, I don't understand this. Like, I don't know. I just was like trying to be like, is this a joke? Like, and I'm not really sure if maybe there's something I'm missing, but I'm like, no, he was literally just like, this is what I want for my birthday, and just posting things. And I was like, ew.
Yeah, that's weird and gross. I don't like that.
Yeah, just like, yeah, if I didn't already kind of dislike him, then I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah,
you're done.
You're done, NPH.
Yeah, says me.
Yeah.
God. So what? What? I don't know. I'm like, we could keep talking about Oscar stuff, or do you want to talk about like some things you were into when you were growing up?
We could talk about into growing up stuff.
Yeah. What's the? You loved Yellow Card.
I loved Yellow Card. I still love Yellow Card.
Ocean's Avenue.
Ocean's Avenue was their one huge song that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And the second thing everyone knows them for is for suing Juice WRLD, like, not long after he died for copyright.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. They, because one of Juice WRLD's songs vaguely resembles at the beginning one of Yellow Card songs off their like third album that flopped super hard.
Oh,
and
no.
It wasn't even a single, so everyone was just like, okay, we can hear the resemblance, but there's no way that Juice WRLD ever heard this song.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And like, I don't know, maybe they just need the money, because
I mean, they broke up, and I will say at one point I saw the lead singer on Facebook, and he was selling handwritten versions of all the lyrics, and I'm just like, that's cool for a super fan of Yellow Card, but also you definitely just need money.
Yep. Oh, man. That's a shame.
Yeah.
But
no, I was a big punk guy growing up, big pop punk. I think so. Yellow Card was my first concert when I was 13, and then I jumped right into Alexis on Fire for my second concert when I was 14, and I'd actually never listened to Alexis on Fire before that.
Oh,
yeah.
How did you end up there?
It was my friend Colin told me that, like, oh, Alexis on Fire is playing on your birthday, we should go. And so I was just kind of like, sure, whatever, let's do it. That was my birthday present. Me, my friend Colin, and I think my friend Andrew all went to that one together. And my mom just slept in the truck while we were at the show. That's what my parents did, because I grew up in a small town that was an hour outside of Regina.
Right, of course.
So she drove us up. She just slept in the truck so that she could drive us home.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then I watched the show. I loved it. And I bought their album. But I was also super scared that I would not like their album when I listened to it. Because I'm just like, maybe it was just in the moment I really liked it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then I did. I listened to it. And I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I have experienced that where you hear something live and you're like, this is so great. And then you listen to the recording and it's not. Like, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. What was like the first concert you've been to?
My first concert was Avril Lavigne. She came to Kamloops. You know, it was like her second album, so she was still doing all the smaller Canadian cities. And it was incredible. I was like, wow, she's so good. And like, she, you know, like, usually when a band is on tour, they'll like do a cover, like just for fun. And I was like, it blew my mind. I was like, she sang a song that wasn't even hers. Like, wow, like, she's so good live. And but I do remember the opener was a Butch Walker is his name. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, wow, he's so good. It was, you know, very like singer-songwritery dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he's so good. This is so, and he did the thing where he like asked somebody to like call their ex-boyfriend so he could like sing fuck you or whatever. I don't know. Like, I feel like musicians will do that kind of thing. They're like, yeah, let me scream into your phone. I don't know. And like, yeah, I think I was 12. Like, I was there with my sister and I was like, this is incredible. And then I downloaded his music and I never listened to it.
I wonder if he's still around, still touring.
Yeah, I don't know. He did have a song like maybe 2 or 3 years after that concert, a song with Tommy Lee.
Oh.
But it's not, it wasn't like a Motley Crue type song. It was called Good Times. It was like a summer vibe.
That was the weird period of time when Tommy Lee was famous on his own.
Yeah.
Where people probably didn't know he was in a band at one point. He was just some famous guy.
He was like, he dated Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
And, honestly, and that's probably what I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't know Motley Crue.
Yeah, and he was just always, I remember always just being like, he just seems gross. He always seemed a little dirty to me.
Definitely.
Just, yeah. I think it's because he was in the, what's it called? Limp Bizkit. He was in with that group. Oh, he was in like their music videos and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's bizarre. What were some movies that you were into? Like, you didn't watch the Oscars, but were you like a movie? When did you get into movies?
I was definitely a movie guy. I don't know when I started really getting into movies, probably around that 2007 time when I saw No Country for Old Men. And also I saw The Dark Knight in the same year, which I think was probably an awakening for numerous movie fans across the board. Probably not the best film to assign.
At the time, it was like incredible.
I specifically remember watching that movie and then telling my friends, was just like, I don't know if I can talk to you guys anymore. I just have a lot of stuff going on.
The Joker.
The Joker really got to me, guys. Yeah.
You're like, maybe he was right.
Maybe he was right.
Oh my God.
But I worked at a gas station in Wolseley. And they rented movies. That was our local place to rent movies. And I got to rent movies for free. So literally I would close at 10, get home at like 10:30, 11. And then I would just have taken home a movie with me, watch it, and take it back the next day. So when I was like in grade 11, grade 12, I watched a new movie every single night, basically.
Wow.
And I watched a lot of very bad movies.
I was gonna say, yeah, you just watched literally anything.
Literally anything that was there. And there's been times where I've seen movies where, like, I see the poster on Netflix or something, and I'm just like, I remember this as a movie that was even too bad for me to have taken home at that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what any of those would be?
I'm trying to remember. Like, they are movies I don't know why we would have had them for rent.
Right.
Because our selection was pretty small.
Maybe like a straight to DVD type.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. But every time I see one, I'm just like, I always kind of have this bit of regret where I'm just like, I should have watched it then. Because I'm not going to watch it now.
God. Yeah. It's too late now.
Yeah. And I also remember I definitely stole Funny People and Zombieland from my bosses I moved away from home, because I'm just like, because they were both like on the verge of being like, okay, we're gonna send this back to the rental agency. I'm just like, I'm just gonna take these are mine now.
Nice.
And I don't think I've watched Funny People since.
I watched Funny People last year and I haven't seen it since it came out. But I was like, oh, this might be interesting to watch, like, after starting stand-up. And it was kind of, but it's still just too long. Just
Yeah, just a weird movie in general.
Yeah, just so many like tonal shifts. You're like, it's, mm-hmm. oh, I like the idea of like Adam Sandler kind of playing a version of himself, of this washed up comedy actor, and then it just gets sad, and then you're like, what?
Yeah, gets sad, gets really kind of weirdly just mournful for his lost relationship.
Yeah. I will say, maybe, like, I love Leslie Mann, and I think, like, when she's, like, crying in that movie, it's, like, the most realistic. She is so good. It's, like, the best crying, and I'm, like, maybe she needs to, like, not do a Judd Apatow movie, and, like, she should win an Oscar one day. That's my...
Yeah, she's just so attached to just doing her husband's movies, which is weird. Also, that's weird that they're married.
Very weird still. Yeah. Yeah. Like there was a time maybe like 5 or 6 years ago when she had like a little, she was in like a few other movies, other comedies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just feel like they just don't make enough comedies. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't really make comedies anymore. No. Definitely not for theatrical release. It's all on Netflix now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a weird... People want to laugh.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought, because like, I think of like Netflix giving Adam Sandler $100 million for 7 movies. I'm just like, right. Oh, you could have given, I don't know, $1 million to $5 million to some really fantastic comedians coming up, or even established comedians, saved a whole bunch of money and probably made a ton on the back end still from like doing a theatrical release. If you release a comedy for that only costs $5 million and it has some notoriety to it, it's going to make money.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people will go see an Adam Sandler movie. Like, I would.
I've always kind of thought there should be like a comedy version of Blumhouse Pictures. That's kind of what they do with horror.
Because
they do like $10 million is the max budget, and they'll have one huge hit like Get Out or The Invisible Man that will basically fund every other movie for the next 5 years.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we only have... I don't know. I'm like, Seth Rogen, I guess, makes movies, but...
Yeah, Seth Rogen is the only comedy movie star left.
Yeah, whereas, like, there's, like, making a few, but it's just, like, I don't know. They fell out they fell out of favor.
I think that we definitely grow up in the last hurrah of, like, really solid comedies in theaters. Like, my favorite movie growing up probably, and probably still one of my favorite movies, is Dodgeball.
Oh, nice.
I love Dodgeball. And there are definitely elements of it that have not aged very well. I am fully able to admit that. I think most comedies can admit that.
Yeah.
But still watching it, I rewatched it like 2 years ago for the first time in a while. I'm just like, oh, I know every line in this movie. Like, I could just say it along, because I'm just... And it's always fun to discover something like that where you're just like, oh, I didn't realize how much I watched this when I was a kid.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wow, this really imprinted on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really loved, like Ben Stiller used to be like a huge, because I was just gonna say Zoolander. That was, I think, when I was in, it came out like before I was in high school, but when I was in high school, I like made a few friends that like we all really loved the movie Zoolander, and like we would just quote it back and forth to each other a lot. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think kind of like TikTok and YouTube has taken that place for a lot of kids today. In that there was always that either a movie or something that you would just quote to your friends, and now that is definitely just a TikTok that you quote to your friends.
That's
or
true.
Vines. Yeah.
Yeah. I have nephews, and I feel like that's all they do. TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. it stinks.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah. Have you ever had something that you like remember that has affected you in a certain way, but you can't remember what it is? Like, for instance, for whatever reason, there's something in my mind that whenever I think of sugar, I think of someone saying in a very strong Boston accent, powdered sugar. And I have no idea what that is from. And I've been trying to figure it out.
That's funny. I'm sure I have stuff like that. There's things that I say that like, I don't, yeah, I can't remember one right now. But it's like, there's things you say a certain way and you don't realize, like, I have a lot of them that I think are from Disney movies.
Yeah.
That, like, my mom will always say, like, she's saying, like, I'm picking you. She'll say, like, I choose you, Aladdin. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
My mom listens to the podcast, and every time I say my mom, she's like, ah, shout out. So she'll appreciate
that. Shout out Gina's mom.
Yeah, I can't think of any that I'm like, oh, I don't know what it's from. Although I have one that I just remembered that it's like a quote that's not a funny quote in the movie, but it's just like the way that I say it. I say it to myself all the time. It's from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs when they're, this is not from my childhood. I was an adult when this came out. when they're going through all the people in the town's requests of what food they want to make it rain. And there's like people like waffles or orange juice. And then there's this one old man. And he just goes, avocado. And I love to say avocado to myself like that.
Avocado. That's a great movie.
It's so funny. I realized in the past few years that like a few other things from that movie have stuck with me, and I'm like, wow, I really liked that movie.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I'm pretty sure that I had to be trained to pronounce it dinosaur instead of dinosaur, because in Jurassic Park they have that one like clip art character. I don't remember know if you remember this, where like they have kind of like a small film when they first get to the park of, oh, here's how the breeding process happens.
Right.
And there's like the, I can't remember what DNA, Mr. DNA or something like that. And he always pronounced it dinosaur.
Oh, that's so funny. So when you were a kid, you thought that. That's cute.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached the end of the time. Okay. Of the pod. But I always like to end with a few questions.
Okay.
So I ask everybody this first question. Which Spice Girl are you, Rory?
Oh, I'm Baby Spice.
Oh.
I think I'm Baby Spice.
Yeah. The smile.
I'm adorable.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And then here's one that maybe, do you have a favorite Oscar Best Picture winner?
Spotlight.
Oh.
Which is strange. I remember that was one of the very first like Oscar parties I went to, and I was the only one who was really wanting Spotlight to win, because Spotlight is one of my favorite movies.
Wow. It's a great movie. I think... maybe I don't remember what it was nominated against, but I was like, I thought it deserved to win, but it's something that I don't think I want to watch again, you know?
See, it's a weird movie for me. There was something going around TikTok a while ago, which was like, the McLovin thing. Oh, you chose McLovin. It was either that or Muhammad. Why would it be either that or Muhammad? And it would always be like, oh, my comfort movie is this or this. And it's just like, why is it that? Well, we either. And for me, my comfort movies that what I need to just chill out are Spotlight, which is a very terrifying movie when you think about it, and intense. Zodiac.
Wow. About
the Zodiac. Those are my two, like, I'm just going to sit back for 2.5-3 hours and relax.
Oh, my God. I mean, people watch, like, murder shows and stuff, so I get it. I think mine isn't quite like to that extent, but I do find a special comfort in watching like the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, those aren't happy or pleasant, but there's something about them.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, yeah, maybe it is just like seeing people go through these things that make you feel better about your own life.
I think I just like seeing people be really good at their job. Those are two movies where it's just people who are very good at their job, just doing the work.
That's true. You know that. Yeah. And, that just reminded me. So I recently, Mean Girls is one of my favorite movies of all time, yes. But now, half of the plastics have Oscar nominations. We got Amanda Seyfried and Rachel McAdams.
That's so true. Lindsay Lohan's next. What are the names of the other ones? Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Lacey Chabert. I don't know. Yes. She does a lot of, I think she does a lot of Hallmark fare.
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably far off for Lindsay Lohan, too.
Yeah.
But also, who else is in that movie?
Tina Fey.
Well, yeah, Tina Fey. But the girl who plays Janice, Lizzie Kaplan, she's a good actor.
Yes. Yes. She's great.
She could, yeah.
Yeah,
she's on the Emmy path. Anyways, well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So yeah, Rory, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on any social media. Under the True Rory. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I never post TikToks because I'm bad at them, and also I'm gonna be 30. So.
Hey, there's over 30s on TikTok.
I know, there's actually a fantastic market, but they're also good at what they have to talk about.
Yeah. We just don't like TikTok. Great, yes, the True Rory. For the podcast, you can follow along on Instagram at Dearest Pop Culture, and be sure to tell your friends and leave a review and rate 5 stars and subscribe and all that good stuff. Anyways, have a good day. We love you. Bye.
Bye.